Hi, and welcome to the Coyote Health Podcast with Romy
and Marita.
You are now joining us live from Cal State San Bernardino. If you listen to, read, or watch the news regularly, chances are you have heard the reports pertaining to America's opioid epidemic, which has been affecting millions of Americans. The National Institute of Health has released that every day in the U.S., 115 people overdose on opioids. The State Health Access Data Assistance Center informs us that the states with the highest opioid death rates are Washington, D.C., West Virginia, and Ohio. West Virginia is at the top. In 2017, there were 833 opioid-related drug overdose deaths, with a rate of 49.6 deaths per 100,000 persons.
Most cases involve the use of synthetic opioids, with a rise of 122 deaths in 2014 to 618 deaths in 2017. Heroin deaths have also increased drastically from 164 to 244 deaths. Opioid drugs are drugs like fentanyl, oxycodone, morphine, and codeine.
So, if you've ever broken a bone, had surgery, or had your wisdom teeth pulled out, you have probably been prescribed an opioid drug. You may ask yourself, what can possibly be causing such high rates? When we picture drug addicts, we tend to have a stereotypical image in our heads and be quick to think of it as a personal issue. Yet, that is certainly not the case. Now, it has become a social structural issue. Thus, today we will be exploring this issue on a deeper level by first looking into West Virginia.
West Virginia is known for its rugged mountain areas and has a state reputation of being a coal country. The state is also known to be the home of chemical facilities for global businesses that make up a portion of the local manufacturing. Why does this matter? The answer is that the built environment in this state consists of many isolated areas. Thus, it causes isolation within communities as well and leaves little room for support systems, which are crucial in times of depression and stress. Consequently, this can increase the likelihood that drug addicts will rely on substances to make them feel better rather than seek comfort in their neighbor, friends, or family because of geographical isolation issues. To make matters worse, dangerous employment occupations such as the large chemical facilities and the coal mining industry leave a catastrophic imprint on the environment, but also in the physical well-being of the state residents, thus paving the way for a large number of illnesses that then have to be treated by a high number of opioid prescriptions. Ultimately, creating a dependence on opioids. Unfortunately, it doesn't stop here. West Virginia is recognized in the top three for having a high unemployment rate of 6.5%, which puts individuals in an even more stressful position. Residents live in poor built environments, have poor social integration, lack support systems due to the isolation, work in dangerous occupations, which lead to poor health, are in poor mental health, and are the most highly prescribed with opioids. And this is why, just like that, they fall into the vicious cycle and why it is far from being merely a personal issue.
Let's turn our attention to a real-life story previously featured on Hidden Brain, a podcast that uses science and storytelling to reveal the unconscious patterns that drive human behavior.
Alicia Troxell was 34 years old. She left behind her twin daughters, her parents, a brother. Hope says blood tests showed Alicia had taken a deadly dose of fentanyl. Having just finished rehab, she was especially vulnerable to an overdose because her body had just been detoxed. Alicia's addiction didn't just kill her, it destroyed the family.
A modern antidote is a drug called Narcan. What's remarkable about it is that it works really well and very quickly. In most cases, if you're injected with Narcan, it will wake you up in less than a minute, and sometimes it happens in only less than 30 seconds. Narcan can be administered as an IV, as an injection, or as a nasal spray. Doctors are legally allowed to prescribe it to those who are known to have an opioid addiction or who are at high risk of developing one. But as impressive as the results might be for an overdose situation, Narcan is not a long-term treatment for addiction. A major repercussion is that it is considered a moral hazard because addicts will see it as a safety net, which can lead to a higher opioid rate. Not to mention, the effects of Narcan dissipate quickly, around 45 minutes on average. For heavy drug users, this means that the amount of an opiate or a combination of opiates that are left in their system might actually persist even after Narcan has worn off. Basically, its purpose is to radically reverse the effects of the opiate. Withdrawal alone can be dangerous, not so much physically, but mentally, as it leaves a patient in an incredibly vulnerable state, feeling miserable.
Narcan was patented in the 1960s and approved by the FDA in the 1970s. In this time, the patent expired, paving the way for a generic version, which is now available on the World Health Organization's list of essential medications. The positive aspect of Narcan is that it is affordable in the developing world and costs less than $25. The auto-injectors, however, are in a steep climb. A two-pack of them can cost around $4,000.
Narcan typically requires a prescription in the U.S., but it's not a controlled substance. There are some who are campaigning for it being available over-the-counter, like it has been in Australia since 2016. We are not quite there yet, but in 37 states, it can be purchased directly from a pharmacist, even if you don't have the prescription from a doctor. Is the U.S. properly and effectively on the right path to addressing this epidemic? And are we addressing it from every possible angle, such as the micro, meso, and macro, or just one?